Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And I do believe that we have the caller line open still. So please call in, ladies and gentlemen, 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525 is the number to call in. I'm going to talk about Bilderberg and so on and so forth today, but it tends to... We've just derailed the conversation. It's all about Alex Jones, isn't it? It's all about Alex Jones. I don't know how other people feel about me when I say this, but I just love listening to Alex Jones. You know, it's great. You know, it's kind of like the show Cops. What Bill Hicks says about the show Cops is every single time you tune into it, it's the same show. A woman has been beaten by her husband. Her head looks like a melon. Her 14 cracker spawn are peering around her gingham skirt, and they're trying to take away the husband. And you go, no, don't take him away. He's a good man. He don't mean no harm. And that's kind of like the Alex Jones show for me. You know, it's like just sitting there, and I don't know. It's great. There's this persona to him, and this kind of a raging Texan vein on his forehead that threatens to explode, showering the InfoWars document cam with arterial blood. It's just fun to watch, I guess I must say.
Here's the thing. It's great. Take what he's done and improve it. Like you say, we finished off the last segment with what are people going to do themselves? I think Thomas Edison said himself, vision without execution is hallucination. So stop just listening to Alex Jones. Do something. Create something.
Create anything. Yeah. Suzanne, have you actually been on InfoWars or something like that before?
No, I was letting them repost my articles, and for a while he had he was talking me up, and they were covering my stuff on his nightly news show, and he was saying my name like 5 times a broadcast every day for several months. But when I found out that he isn't what he purports to be, I wrote Kurt Nemo a letter. After they offered me to become an outhouse staff writer, not an in-house, not that I was sitting in an outhouse, but, you know, I would be able to do what I do here and just submit my articles to them and have them published, and they would pay for it. But I didn't want to be part of that after I had done some digging in on who he really is and what he really does. So I stepped away from that. But I watched his show too, and absolutely, I mean, the paranoia does sit in very quickly after you start listening to him. You start looking out your blinds, thinking that every time a cop drives by your house, they're going to come and get you. And but then you move on and you realize that you have to do something. And I wish that more of his audience would be inspired to do something. It seems like they're inspired to continually consume the information that he's providing, but never get beyond that point.
I think you have to break out of the digital realm into the real world. I think that's where you get your real motivation from, when you're actually contacting and doing things with real people. And look, you can organize as much as you want on Facebook. You can organize and as much as you want on YouTube or any other social media network platform, but you're not actually having any real contact with real people. And that in itself, I think, is really, really bad thing. I mean, I have had many, many conversations with people on Facebook, but I think I have far more verbal conversations. Like this is what we're doing right here, right now. This is just a conversation between three real people. It's just incidentally there's thousands of people listening. And other than that, we're just as genuine as we are on air as we are in person. Like Suzanne, I've talked to you off air. You're the same person on air as you are off air. Ralph, you too. I'm the exact same person that I am on air than I am off air. I'm always having fun, telling laughs and stuff. Maybe I'm a little bit dirtier and use a bit more profanity in person because we're not under FCC regulations when I'm walking around the house. But other than that, you know, pretty fracking genuine. I think it's when people put on a mask of any kind that there is this this dramatis persona that comes over them. You know, like the hand comes down and the expression changes and they become a rabid derivatives criticizing dog sort of thing.
Absolutely, and after a while, people start to sense that, and they can see that. And it's very hard if you're not the genuine person that you really are, whether you're in public or private. People eventually get to see that, and there's no point. This movement is about taking back our individual countries and taking back our world. There's no room for rock stars. The fact that we even have rock stars or famous people in this movement makes me sick to my stomach. It shocks me that that phenomenon would even happen like it does in the mainstream media.
Yeah, I'm actually really afraid of that thing happening to me as well. Like, if I become, like, real famous and then suddenly there comes, like, this Vinnie Eastwood cult following and people would, like, defend me from criticism at all points and start abusing people who attack me and stuff. I don't want that to happen, man. Let people attack me. Let people viciously tell malicious lies about me. Don't defend me in any way, shape, or form, okay? Get on with your own life. Protect your own families. I'll be all right, okay? And I think that that's actually a real problem because you see these videos criticizing Alex Jones and there's just this whole group of people that come out of the woodwork, giving you abuse, threats, so on and so forth. It's just completely and utterly ridiculous. And it's just like, dude, don't you have anything better than your life? Don't you have somebody who actually like needs your help? Alex Jones doesn't need people's help to protect him. Not at all.
No.
He's perfectly capable of protecting himself, and so am I, you know. Don't need your help to protect. What we need is your help to wake people up. We need your help to go out and accost scumbags with cameras and so on and so forth and posting those videos online. We need you to be going to city council meetings and taking fracking notes about how the Agenda 21 implementation is going on. You need to be starting the blogs up. You need to be taking these people to court. All of these things that we're not doing, okay, just have a look at what people like Suzanne and myself do, doing articles, doing a radio show, so on and so forth. There is a hell of a lot that we're not doing that we would do if we had the time, okay? And if you're not doing this radio show, if you're not doing a articles or blogs or something like that, you should be doing something else, preferably something else that people aren't already doing yet. There is a need in society for you to wake up. There is a need in society for you to get active. There is a need for you to start growing fracking vegetables, of all things. Isn't that interesting? How the most simple, basic thing of actually having a secure food supply that isn't poisoned by Monsanto is one of the most important things you could possibly be doing right now at this very particular moment in time.
Absolutely. And that march on Monsanto, we can take any number of areas where we all have a common enemy and organize marches every week. We could be doing that every week, all across the globe. There's lots of how many pharmaceutical corporations can we go after? We've got here in the tax season, you know, why don't we just march and say we're not going to pay our taxes?
The thing is also organization within a movement, because what they're actually doing is even if you go out there and protest, all they have to do is click a finger, use their, muscle men to arrest you, and that's it. You're out of the game. We need a creative movement where there's an open dialogue first, I think, before an action. It's so easy to go out there and try and destroy what they've done. But rather than destroying what they've done, I think creating is a stronger thing. You know, create. You've got the best weapon at the moment to create content online, and that's photos, videos, because photos and videos don't lie. So if you see scumbaggery, film it. You know, that's a first step, I think. Is always have a video camera with you, and that's so easy these days with technology. But I'll give you an example. I mean, living in London, it's completely different to New Zealand. London, it's all about uniforms. You've got police, security. They're all there to animate those uniforms, and they're all there to suppress their cattle, basically. And sometimes these people in uniforms get in power trips because they think they're representing something that, you know, that's not actually there. But if you film that, if you take photos of that, if you make videos, it tells all. So, yeah, create rather than destroy, I think. So if you go out there and protest, I think it does very little because you could easily get arrested. You know, they can destroy your name just like that.
How many protests have you been to, Ralph?
I've seen a lot of protests, but I'm not brave enough to participate in one because of that, because I'm disposable.
I think you're afraid of something that doesn't really exist. It's actually quite difficult to get arrested at a protest. The only reason why you might think that it is easy to get arrested at a protest is because those are the real popular videos, because people love seeing protesters get arrested on YouTube. And I've been to hundreds of protests and never once been close to getting...
in New Zealand. That could be true in New Zealand, because I've seen a comparison. New Zealand police, for example, are great people. As soon as you get to London, the heart of the empire, they've done this for years. They put on a uniform. They're not on the same level as you. So the police here, they will brutalize you and get away with it. So it depends where you are, I think. New Zealand's quite lucky because it's still a young country.
I have been brutalized by New Zealand police before, though, and they did get away with it. So it's not entirely different. I'm just thinking, like, you're trying what you say, that protesting doesn't make a difference, but not going out and protesting because you're afraid of being arrested, I think that's a that doesn't fly with reality for me. But the other element is here is that if you go into a protest, sure, don't expect that the world's going to change because of it. That's why I take video and upload shockingly large amounts of footage from all those protests, because it's actually the information that the speakers give you, usually at the beginnings of marches or at the ends of marches, that are the real juicy nuggets of information. Those are incidentally the things that the mainstream media, that's when they stop filming. They're going to be speaking for more than a two-second sound bite. So, yeah, let's just turn the camera off. We want to ask the questions. We want to direct these people to answer things that are basically completely irrelevant and don't make any fracking difference, and then audio nibble them away to nothingness on the media. And so when somebody like me goes to a protest, for example, you see there's two different protests. One where people are actually talking about facts and figures, legislation, and so on and so forth, and resistance. And another who are just a bunch of disheveled hippies full of one-liners that don't mean anything. And I think that's probably the main tragedy of protests. I see so many people with cameras there, guys. I see so many people with cameras at protests. And barely ever do I see anybody other than me uploading more than one or two of those videos. If they upload anything at all. And I don't know what it is about some people. They think they need to perfect something before they get it out there. And I'm just going to say, you know, it's like if you're waiting for perfection, you're going to be waiting a hell of a long time, and by then the moment has passed.
It's a chess game, isn't it? If you're waiting to take that horse or that, you know, whatever, rather than just taking it, making that move, you're going to lose the game. So I do agree in that. Look, full respect to people that are out there protesting, and full respect to them fully. I agree.
Well, your whole life can be a protest. You can make a decision to not do something that you used to do because what you did before was supporting something that you don't agree with. Or you can, you know, you can stop going to Starbucks because they put horrible things in their coffee. And you don't want to support that business anymore. You can stop shopping at any number of stores because you don't agree with their ethics and their values and how they bring the products to you. And you can get people to do that every day. So it doesn't have to always be some march, some great event. It could just be every single day you make a conscious decision not to do something and get your friends and family or whoever you know involved to stop doing it too. That could be your protest.
That's a really good point.
And it's about resistance, okay? Protesting is one form of resistance. making radio shows, articles, videos, that's another form of resistance. Drafting documents and so on and so forth, exposing high-level corruption, that's another form of resistance. I think if everybody did one thing, just one thing every single day to resist the current system, and maybe did another thing extra the next day, before you know it, you'd be in an exponentially resistant world where no form of scumbaggery would ever be able to take root again.
There's one powerful thing that everyone can do if they were to do one thing, I think, is just to realize that money is debt. Maybe just stop borrowing, or rather than borrowing from the bank, peer-to-peer lending. Make alternatives, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and if peer-to-peer lending doesn't work, orange-to-apple lending works as well.
And what we were talking about last night on my show, if you have information, let the whistleblowers come out. You know, if they all come out in unison, or if they all come out within a timely fashion of each other, what are they going to do? We need to put the controllers in a position where they're scrambling, because they're getting hit on all sides, because they're doing that same thing to us.
Yeah. And this is exactly why I'm acting right now, because I know I'll be in a worse off position if I don't. I mean, ideally I could, you know, lose my lifeline here by just talking, you know, being a whistleblower as such, you know, talking about what's happening with bankers here in London and me as an insider, as a waiter. No, I could seriously lose my lifeline, and that would be a terrible thing. But if I don't, I mean, it will get worse.
Well, see, I've always wondered this as well. It's like, why are people afraid to speak out? And it's because of that. They really are afraid to lose their livelihood at the end of the day. And it's quite a sad state of affairs, I think, where your continued survival means supporting a system that's going to kill you and everybody else. Think about that for a minute, ladies and gentlemen, while we take this break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio. Back in a minute.
The world we knew is gone. The conditions which framed and taught us our stance gone.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We've got an article in here from about the NSA leaker. Is that how you pronounce the name? But before we do that, got a joke for you, ladies and gentlemen. Come up with this over the break. What do frogs on Wall Street trade? Derivatives.
Derivatives.
Anyway, in New Zealand politics, this is what John Key says. Snowden not welcome in New Zealand. I used to go to school with some people named Snowden. Dicks. Prime Minister John Key says American whistleblower Edward Snowden is not welcome here. His comments follow media reports in which Australian barrister, not to be confused with the baristas who make good coffee, Geoffrey Robertson said Snowden would likely have a more quote-unquote pleasant refuge in New Zealand than North Korea or Russia. I believe that's a typo, and they meant a peasant refuge. Snowden was believed to be in Hong Kong after leaking information about the United States intelligence agencies monitoring off-internet traffic. Key said today the former security contractor did not meet the requirements for asylum, and it was ridiculous to suggest he would. He wouldn't be welcome, he said. Yeah, I mean, because if there's one thing a corrupt New Zealand government doesn't want, it's people who speak out against corruption. Key couldn't rule out Snowden coming to New Zealand under another immigration category because he was not facing criminal charges. But the Prime Minister expected the government would oppose any asylum application. I can't see why we'd want him to turn up, he said. Well, you certainly wouldn't want him to turn up, Key. You've got frickin' shares in the World Bank and all goodness knows what else. Bank of America, sorry. He's welcome to apply to come here, but not as an asylum seeker. That was the premise of the article. New Zealand was a good, fair country, which up. I love it how he uses the past tense. Listen to this. New Zealand was a good, fair country which upheld its responsibilities under international law. That was the case with the extradition of internet millionaire Kim.com, he said. Kim.com, who incidentally was surveilled illegally by the New Zealand government. What's the Prime Minister knew about? We don't have a view on his, .com's particular case, as we've said so often before. Of course, you don't have any views on it, because if you reveal what your views really were, you'd wind up going to frickin' prison, because you're a scumbag. It's really a matter between the United States and Mr. .com, he said. They're invoking the extradition treaty, and we're playing our part as a treaty partner. Have you noticed how every single time that you want to destroy another country, well, one country wants to destroy another country's sovereignty, they have a treaty with them, you know? It's like on Star Wars Episode 1. Oh, we need to sign a treaty, Your Highness, so we can kill and enslave your people. He was a whistleblower inside the organization. He made a moral decision. I think most people on planet Earth would agree the morality of his decision, Russell Norman said. He's the leader of the Green Party here. Key has also been asked about the presence of US spy software company Palantir, which has established a base in Wellington, the capital of New Zealand. He said he knew who they were, but didn't speak for the company.
Let me tell you who they are. They are Peter Thiel owns them. And Peter Thiel sits on the steering committee of the Bilderberg Group, and he helps decide who gets to show up to the meetings. That's who Palantir... Oh, and Palantir Technologies is the favorite technology corporation that the U.S. government likes to use. So there you go. That's who Palantir Technologies is.
Right. Now, Ralph, you're typing a little bit there. You're going to make sure to mute your mic when you're doing that. I always find it really funny as well how transparent articles are for me. Like I'll read through this article and I don't even know who Snowden was until like about a couple of minutes ago, and already I could see the plan and of the scumbaggery, because they don't change their tactics very often, do they? Have you noticed this? If you see, yes. if you've seen one conspiracy, you've basically seen them all. It's like, okay, here's the cocktail. Have you got a person who's doing things for moral reasons? Yeah. Is he being demonized? Yeah. Is he being sabotaged? Yeah. Is he a whistleblower of some description? Yeah. Does he threaten the credibility of a hell of a lot of incredibly dangerous people who own copious quantities of assets and corporations that surveil over people and destroy their fracking lives consistently? Yes. Okay. You know, all your ducks are in a row. It seems pretty straightforward, don't you think, that these are the people that the entire world should know about, that the entire world should suddenly go to protect. Oh, my God, this person's being a really good person. He's taking on evil. Let's run out there, put ourselves in the line. I mean, I've been at courtrooms before where I'll be filming, and the police try to arrest me. Actually, people have stepped in front of me to block the police from putting handcuffs on me. All right, that's what people need to be doing, I think, with whistleblowers, you know. Actually, really just cruise around to their house, protect them, and just, you know, do you need some food, bro? Do you need your washing done? Do you need your dishes done? Do you need some coverage on the internet? Do you know, what can I do for you? What can I do? How can I help? And I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm just so freaking tired of it all. You know, as Alex Jones would say, I'm tired of it! I'm tired of it! How is he?
I think I know where you're going with it.
I'm sick of the derivatives of the scumbaggery. It just makes me go on a tangent rant.
I think I know where you're going, Vinny. I mean, like with any movement, you need an army. You don't need martyrs or heroes. So it's all about community, helping each other, knowing our circumstance, knowing that we're in the same boat, knowing that we're all cattle. So think of the lessons that nature, you know, teaches us. We're going up against a big animal. Just all unite.
Yeah, ancient tribes used to take down mammoth by working together, didn't they? And boy, do we have one gargantuan mammoth of a conspiracy going on here. And I don't know, need some gaffy sticks and bantha tracks, you know, the sand people and all of that kind of stuff. It's all swirling around. It's coming to a head. You know, the stormtroopers are on their way to your house, bro. Okay? That's what's really kind of freaking me out nowadays. Is I'm just wondering, you know, how close are we to the edge? Because I know they're planning to collapse the economy. I know they're planning to exterminate all of us. I know they're planning to destroy the sovereignty of our countries and form us into a one-world government. And what I find really interesting is that people, instead of doing something about it when they know the projected agenda, they sit back and listen to radio shows like this and call in and ask questions like, oh, but when do you think this is going to happen? It's already fracking happening, step by fracking step. And every single time that you sit back and do nothing and ask when something's going to happen, you are wasting possible resistance moments.
Mm.
Absolutely. And I get a lot of flack on the internet about, well, we already know that they're surveilling us. This is not news. Yes, it is. Because somebody stepped out and said something. More people need to step out and say something. There are people who know things. There are people who have documents. They need to feel comfortable enough to come out and say something. Because the more people that can say something, that work in these industries, that can blow whistles on what's going on, then we can shut this down. They work in the shadows. So let's shine a light on them. I mean, it's really that simple.
Shut it down. Shut it down.
Yeah. A lot of people are scared about, you know, destroying their character. I catch the tube here in London, and I sometimes, you know, because I'm a very snoopy person, I sometimes overhear people talking exactly about this, but they whisper it to each other, you know, that sort of thing, because they're afraid of what people are going to perceive them. But I think everyone's thinking the same thing, but it's just that whole idea of destroying your character, because no one wants to be on the losing team.
Can I ask you, Ralph, what makes you think that your character's not destroyed already if you won't speak up about what you know to be right?
Mm. And people, exactly. I mean, people latch themselves into the wrong role models as well. Like, stop looking at politicians. I overheard a banker today talking to another banker, saying, you know, the most important thing is perception. The most important thing is putting politicians out there that have personality. People buy into personality. It's all a facade. So you're looking at the wrong role models, and they're not in it for you either.
Mm.
So
it's trees by their fruit, you know. You have a look at what people are saying and then have a look at what people are doing, and you'll soon notice who's real from who's full of crap. And what I've found is very, very sad is that there's so many people in this movement that are totally full of crap, right? And I feel guilty saying that, and I think that people will get angry for me saying that, but I have to say it because it's the truth. There's lots of people out there in this movement who are just straight up lying to all of you about dang near everything that they're covering. Whether or not they're doing it deliberately, or they're just foolish, or they're full of their own egos, or something like that. And some people keep, even after they realize that this person's a complete deceiver, keep listening to them. What is that?
There are two types of people. There are farmers and there are sheep. So there are people out there that look to their peers and they look to see what's cool. So, you know, conspiracy is not cool. Conspiracy is not real. So there's sheep. And, you know, you'll never change that. There will always be those sort of people. But we need to concentrate on creating more farmers. And because if you have enough of them, everything else will follow. So people have to look within themselves and decide who they are. Are they a sheep or a farmer?
Are you a sheep or a wolf?
Wolf. That's the one.
And it'd take a wolf to catch a wolf. You know what I'm saying?
You've also got decades and decades of programming where we're taught to be consumers. We're taught to believe that what we have defines who we are, and it's generational. And so that's what creates the sheep. Generation after generation being programmed to think that you're nothing without a house with two garages in it and cars you can't afford and clothing you can't afford, and you're always going out and buying something. That's the society we live in, not just in the United States, but all over the world. And that's the ideology that we're fighting up against. It's the people who decide that they're not going to let what they don't have or what they do have define who they are. Those people need to stand up and remind the other people that they exist, whether or not they have these little sheets of paper that only have value because some idiot, some technocratic idiot or psychopath decided that it has this sort of value to it. Nothing means anything unless somebody else says it does. So that means that nothing means anything unless you say it does. And if you say it doesn't have any value, then it doesn't have any value.
Yeah. What really I find really ironic is the people who are afraid of getting killed or demonized by coming out and speaking about the truth. Dude, they're going to kill you anyway. What the hell are you? What have you got to lose?
Absolutely. I've been demonized a lot in the last year that I've been out. I've even had professors take the letters in my name and reword them to create different words and somehow say that my name has been made up and that I'm not a real person and that this is proof. Professors who are teaching students in colleges are doing this on the side and then posting this on their websites. So there's a lot involved here.
Oh, they're totally contributing to positiveness and humanity, aren't they?
Absolutely. But that doesn't stop me from doing what I'm doing. I'm still writing articles and publishing every day and going on the radio. That's not going to stop me. I have two children at home. I have a responsibility.
They're not gonna outright kill you either. That's just going to create too much of a scene. They're just going to do it really low-key. They're just going to starve you. So they're going to cut your lifeline and starve you. But, you know, people need to wake up and realize this. And here's the thing, though, and I agree with you guys. It's ingrained right from the word go to act like a sheep, because that's what they want you to be. They want you to be cattle. They promote the sort of we've all had those sort of managers at work, right, where they're just outright psychopaths. They do that on purpose. They promote those sort of people to those high levels. And anyone that sort of thinks outside the square or thinks logically, they demonize them. So, you know, it's a real hard game that we're playing, but as long as you're aware that the game is going on, that's when you start changing the path of it all. But I do agree with you. It's ingrained right from the word go to act like sheep. And so this is why you can't blame people. This is the mentality that they've all grown up with.
I wonder how difficult it would be to convince a classroom that they shouldn't obey their teacher because their teacher's probably wrong, and how difficult it would be for that teacher to maintain control of the classroom after they've learned that.
That's why they come up with ADHD and all these other problems that kids have. When the children, this was decided very, very early on when Ford and Carnegie got, what's his name? Oh my God, Edward Bernays into the school system to decide to teach them how to propagandize to the students, and actually taught teachers in colleges these methodologies to control the students. And what they do is they separate the students that are willing to comply automatically from the students who won't. And it's come to the point where the students who won't comply now have a mental disorder, and they are not allowed to be in class, or they're not allowed to be in the school at all unless they're on some sort of mood stabilizer or psychotropic drug. That's
how they're dealing with it. Which incidentally makes the kids go crazy and shoot up the school. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. We'll be right back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I love that song, you know, Nowhere to Run, Nowhere to Hide. It kind of reminds me that just how true that saying is, but it, of course, it's misinterpreted. That song's about love, and my interpretation is about the New World Order. Why do they call it a New World Order? You know, I see people escaping to other countries, you know, leaving the United States, coming to New Zealand in order to escape the New World Order, only to discover that New Zealand's just as deep in the thick of it as the rest of the world. People were leaving England to go to Russia or something like that to escape the New World Order. Then they realise that the New World Order's here too, in the form of $1 per litre of liquor. My very special guests are Ralph Engel from thisflighttonight.com and Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com, and not to mention RealGorillaMedia.com, where we have contributors from a number of different fields around the annals of truth. That's annals with two N, you dirty people out there. And we try to give them a bit of a platform because it needs to be done. Look, this is something that I noticed. And maybe you two will agree with me, but maybe you won't. But the whole problem with media, even alternative media, is centralization, right? That's the real problem, I think, is one person being up on the top and being in control and everybody else having to do what they say and cover what they have to cover and that kind of thing. It has the benefit of having much wider audiences, but it has the downside of having a centralized decision-making, which means less diversity. And what the real guerrilla media is about is using that same centralization model but flipped on its head, so that we bring all these different contributors to a central platform and tell them, you can write whatever you want to write, okay? And just be honest and just be decent about it and contribute, so that anytime people go to therealgorillamedia.com, they can see a number of different articles on a number of different causes from a number of different contributors, all of which are putting their stuff there voluntarily. That's all we're there to do, is help you get your own little message out. So if you want to be a contributor and you've already got your own website, preferably, and your own following, your own radio shows, we want multimedia activists, people who do articles, radio, and video. And if you're only just doing one of each, that's fine too. And we're going to try and get you some donations from these very important people, who are the reason for our existence, the audiences. It's very well enough that we come out and we contribute, produce content, thing of that, other fellow activists. But sometimes we don't pay enough homage to our audiences who sit there day after day listening, reading, and watching and supporting people like us who otherwise would not be able to survive, in a lot of cases, literally, without that help. We just want to extend a little bit of that help out to the contributors from realgorillamedia.com. So there's a little plug there. Also, I'm having a bit of a financial crisis myself. So if you can go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, subscribe for as little as $1 a month, or give me some kind of a massive cash injection, it would kind of be really, really beneficial right about now. There's a reason why I'm so stressed out and so tired and forgetting to even have coffee before a show. Financial stress. It's bad. And there is only one source of income that I can guarantee does not connote scumbaggery. And that's honest, decent, generous listeners to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And thank you so much for your support already. Some people have actually turned up at my house and just given me cash. You know, people go out of their way to support me. And I'm just so intensely grateful for that. Honestly. Every single thing that I have, bro, is donated or given to me by somebody who's generous, right? I know what it's like to live under the protection and the provision of others. It's like everybody's my pseudo mum and dad. almost got a freaking hand out for an allowance. I don't know. Maybe that's bad.
Give cash to Vinny while you can before we become a cashless society.
Yeah.
Maybe you should start busking, bro.
I'd have to get up really early on Saturday mornings and go to the markets and stuff like that out Takapuna ways, bro. That's where my mate goes busking. I don't know. It'd be good. We could bust together. But yeah, there's got to be more ways of making money than.
Yeah.
Hello, Vinny.
Your audio's clipped out, Vinny.
Paid before you even think about giving something to the Vinny Eastwood show, okay? Take care of yourself and your family first. That's more important.
Sorry. Absolutely. That must have been completely deep and meaningful, but the audio was gone on my end. I'm not sure about you there.
Is it back now?
Yeah, you're
right. Okay, sorry.
It sounded like you were saying something really deep and meaningful.
Well, what I was saying is if people are going to donate to the Vinny Eastwood show and you haven't taken care of yourself yet, you haven't taken care of your family, you don't have all your bills paid, stuff like that, don't donate to me, okay? Take care of yourself and you take care of your family. You take care of your bills first before you even think about starting to support anybody else. If you can't help yourself, how are you going to help me? All right? Honestly, make your own situation better before you start helping other people. Also, even if you know, you're listening to me all the time, you know, and you feel guilty because you're listening. That's what I get. I get emails from people who feel guilty about donating me money. They say, Vinny, here's $20. I wish I could give more, but I'm so broke. And it's just like, are you kidding me? You just gave me $20 of your hard-earned cash that you probably can't afford. You have any idea how grateful I am for that?
It's already?
Thank you.
It's a war zone out there. It's a chess game. So absolutely, you got to look after yourself first. And I totally agree with you, Vinny, because as you know, I try and donate as much as possible, but every now and then I just absolutely can't. But it's a war zone. You absolutely support what you believe in, but at the same time, you know, you might have to retreat every now and then, but you know, as long as you're there for the long run and you're doing something every day, it might not be, you know, giving you cash directly, but it might be doing something else, like speaking out or being a guest in the show, you know. That's my personal input on that. But yeah, absolutely. Anyone that's out there, I mean, $1 a month is not a lot, but it does keep shows like this on air, and it's absolutely valuable as a platform. So get on PayPal, everybody. Donate what you can, if possible. If not today, next week, next month. Keep it in mind.
Thanks for that, bro. Has Andy been quiet there in the corner? Was it the dirty conversation that we had over the break about Michael Douglas's throat cancer through the use of cunnilingus?
I think it was. I was just so, you know, I'm still so shocked about, you know, Angelina Jolie chopping off her breasts and everybody doing that and more celebrities coming out, and then Michael Douglas blames oral sex for his throat cancer. And I'm thinking, what is going on with Catherine Zeta-Jones? But then I'm thinking, who prompted him to say something that ridiculous? I mean, he's had a very good career. He comes from good stock, you know? What made him think that? I mean, what kind of drugs do they have him on that he would make such a ridiculous statement?
I don't know. I think once you get older in this society, people start trying to push medication on you. Before you know it, you've got ridiculous amounts of medication that you've got to deal with, that a wee bit of good diet and exercise would basically wean you off.
I was just writing an article before I came on the show about the bees, and there's university, the Washington State University is now taking bee sperm and storing it and genetically modifying the bees that we have now with the bee sperm, and they actually had a picture of someone extracting the sperm from the bee. And I'm just appalled and shocked at all of this stuff that's going on with genetics. And why are they taking the bee sperm?
I wonder what a bee sounds like when he gets up.
But that's like,
you know, you're like this erotic buzzing warehouse where they're extracting the juicy honeydew jism from these honeybees. That's freaking disgusting. All right. Okay. What are they doing with this thing? Are they rubbing it on their face?
No, what they're
Do they not have a man partner that can do this for them? No.
What they're doing is they're getting from Europe bee sperm sent over here, and they're worried about testing it for viruses, and so that they can go ahead and genetically modify all the bees because the bees are dying.
Yeah, bees are dying, and I'm sure that has absolutely nothing to do with the huge amount of pesticides that the people who are planning on genetically modifying the bees have put into the environment, which has killed them all, because every time they touch a plant, they get Roundup ready to die. So, that's another good show, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry if I've been a little bit not with it. And I'm apologizing for it. I'm doing a good job here. Gosh dang it. Should be proud of it. Not feel guilty because I'm not doing enough. Nobody is. Nobody's doing enough. You know how you know that you're not doing enough? Because all these problems that you're fighting against aren't solved yet. Ralph Engel from thisfighttonight.com and Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com and RealGorillaMedia.com. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your time, and we'll see you again another one.